Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We hope you enjoy the message. To find out more about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Awesome. Give Chris a big God bless you. Can you give the worship team a big God bless you as well? We have a lot of heckling in this section, but that's okay. Awesome. Fantastic. Are we all good? It's half term, so it's holidays and everything else. And so if you're going on holiday this week or you're on holiday and you're listening to this, I hope you're having a great time in doing that. Fabulous. It was great to see testimony this morning. Just a thing. Hey, men, where were you? Where were the men? We got all these women coming with testimony. We got no testimonies amongst the men. You know, I think God wants to give us a little bit of a nudge, boys. You know, I have a testimony, and you can say it's good or bad, but I really pray that we would begin to disciple men well. And so we kind of journeyed this and started Every Man a Warrior. Some people don't like the warrior bit. I don't know what you want to replace it with, every man, whatever you want to pick. Some women who don't like men will put another word in there. But anyway, but every man a warrior, you know what it does do, right? If you submit yourself, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself, to being in a small group and being with other guys and journeying the things of God, it really brings out some rubbish, you know? It is tough. It is tough, you know, and so be careful what you pray for, and then be careful what you want to walk into, because if you do something like that and you say, God, I want to submit myself to this process, I want to journey with this, it gets messier before it gets a little better. And so it's a great testimony when it's a bit messy, because when there's mess, you know God's doing some stuff in that. So please don't be afraid of the mess. But just be thank God for the mess and say, okay, we're gonna journey through something. I'm gonna pray, so you guys just look like you need a bit of prayer. Close your eyes. Father, I thank you for this group of people. And I thank you, Father, that as we journey together, just in your word, in the next sort of 29 minutes and 57 seconds, that it will be an incredible revelation to our hearts. It will drop from our minds to our hearts, Father, because you want our hearts, and we've heard that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. We got some cool slides. They're going to come up. Stavros has revolutionized us from last year. But we're going to touch a little bit on maturity. But I just want to take a bit of a stop. And maybe you could call it a slight detour. Maybe park at the service station this morning and just explore something that I think is absolutely vital to where we are as a church. I don't know if you've looked around, and but over the past 18 months of this journey, and especially the last year when we've come into this facility, the church has grown and grown and grown. And we do this little graph of stats. People say, why do you count numbers? It's important to count numbers, you know, because we need to know how many people here. We need to plan for the next week and put out how many chairs. We need to see how many Liberty groups are going to be. We need to understand that growth brings change. Our kids' church, incredible couple over there, Jim and Sarah. Give them a round of applause, because nobody ever really thanks them. They have issues because more people come. And because everybody's making babies, they have bigger issues. And so our kids' church, average size is about 50 to 60 kids on a Sunday. So that is like, that's huge. So we have to count what is going on. But as you see growth takes place, you've got to almost fight against getting into the religious mechanism of what we call church, and we move away from the relationship that God wants us to be in. Because it becomes this machine that keeps going instead of this organism that keeps growing. And so we then look at a Sunday and we go, my gosh, there's more people, my gosh, there's more people, my gosh. And suddenly we ramp it up to this thing of all about a Sunday. And I just need us, and you may not be there, but I think we're just going to revisit this, recalibrate where we're at, and just understand that God, we're not a machine and we're not a mechanism. We are the people of God. And we are called to be not messy, but in organic. And organic things are beautiful, and organic things grow, and organic things flourish. Not sometimes in a perfect uniform format, but actually how God wants them to flourish. Let me read this to you. Can you check the first one up? Read a vision. Without one, we have a problem. Or we have problems. Can anybody say amen? You know why most people have problems in their life is because they don't have a vision. They have no clue what they're doing, and they're living for the moment or the next holiday or to make it through Christmas or to get the next event. You know, we come, let's get our exams, let's graduate, let's get married, let's have a baby, let's buy a house, whatever order you want to do it in. But it's the event. And we're not event-driven at all. We are driven by the vision that God places in our hearts, because the Bible says without a vision, in fact, it says without a prophetic vision, which is not just the vision that I come up with. If your vision is not from heaven, it'll soon run out and it'll probably be too small. If your vision is just made up by you, it ain't going to satisfy you. But if your vision is downloaded from heaven into this and then drops to this, suddenly it becomes a place where you can run and see the fullness of God, but also you will be nourished and you'll be satisfied even in the bad times because it's from Him. But this is us. Vision, without one, we have problems. We know that. We see a church who have a vibrant family. Family is a key word there. You can't be an island and be family. It doesn't work that. Of hope-filled believers. Do I have a bunch of hope-filled believers this morning? Good, great. I don't think we're all quite hope-filled. I think you got to sometimes talk your way there and actually encourage yourself. The Bible says, when David was speaking, oh, soul, why are you so downcast? Sometimes you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to actually turn on the music, read the scripture, and bring yourself out of where you're at. You might have to ring somebody. You got to get yourself out of the miry clay. Get somebody, pull you out, rescue, get me out of this thing, because otherwise you're just going to stay in it. And sometimes we get so used to our muck, we actually become like pigs and enjoy it. And we don't actually know what's on the other side of the getting out of the muck. Please don't enjoy your muck so much. Get out of it. But hopeful believers who know and demonstrate the love of God. First, we got to know and demonstrate. It's no good just talking about it. We're not here for an educational sermon. We're not here for passing an exam. We're here to equip ourselves this morning so that we can go out and do the work of the ministry. Good. I'm glad I'm encouraged. There you go. Well, secondly, we're a people empowered and anointed. Do you know that you're anointed by God? Why don't we walk in that anointing? We'll pick that up in a bit. To help rebuild, renew, and restore people's lives, community, and nations. It's everything from here and everything to the ends of the earth. Please don't be small-minded people where we're so navel-gazing that it's I, me, and my, and myself, and maybe my wife or husband or maybe one other person. It's got to be bigger than that. Because that is small vision. If that's the only vision God's given you for yourself, I suggest to you it ain't from God. Because it ain't just about you. Restore lives, community, and nations. And thirdly, are people who walk in the freedom of who God created them to be. If we are not free in Christ, then we're not yet walking in this freedom of who God created us to be. He created us, and His destiny is that we walk in the fullness of who He is, reflecting not the world, not my issues, not my idea, but His glory and His honor. God wants to download a vision into your life that shifts the atmosphere of who you are and shifts those around you. Don't blank out now. Don't look around now. Don't think somebody else has got a better hairstyle than I have right now. I really need you to lock in this morning, because otherwise I waste my time and I'm wasting your time. Absolutely. Okay, let's flick over. Here we go. This is the church. This is what I want to talk to you this morning on. This is the church. We just read it that we see. That vision, you can say, wow, that's a great vision, Heath. I'm really behind your vision. No, you've got to own those 3 points yourself. If you are family here, own those things. I should be able to sometimes walk up and say, hey, what's our vision? Not to just recite, but if you can't demonstrate to talk about who we are, how are you going to live who we are? It just doesn't work. If I say to you, tell me about the goodness of God, if you can't say it, how are we going to begin to live it? Sometimes we can't even articulate some things. And I know we can't explain the fullness and the goodness of God because it's just so big and so wow. But hearing people's testimony this morning causes my faith to rise, causes me to be encouraged, causes me to, I can live this thing as well. I might even go up to one of them afterwards that was touched me and say, hey, can you tell me a little bit more? because Noel shared, but we were there in the kitchen when the phone call came, and I'm like, no, I need a sandwich. Don't get so excited right now. But for her, it was an incredible breakthrough moment. We are jumping around. We are excited. Why? Because it's not actually about her. Somebody else's life was depending on that thing. Somebody else's future. And the world came in and said, no, this is what we do. And heaven comes in and says, no, this is what we do. Who are we going to walk by? The world or heaven? I would suggest heaven would be a better option, but let's not get too caught up. The church, we are the called out ones. If you want to learn some Greek, we are the ecclesia. Watch this now. We don't go to church. We come as the church. This morning you might have got up and said, we're going to church. You're not going to church. You're it. We gather as the church. We don't attend. We are it. So when you leave here and you're going to have coffee later on or tomorrow or whatever you do, you are literally the church in that place. If we do not get this, we will become an organization and a mechanism instead of a people empowered by the goodness of God. And we will attend instead of actually be. I'm going to run ahead of my points, but it's not. It's not a place, it's a people. Say to the person next to you, you are the church. And then tell them back, so you are the church as well. Encourage one another. But we are the called out ones. What are you called out of? Called out of darkness into light. Called out of the pit into the palace. Come from the ashes into beauty. We have this option. The moment you said yes to Jesus, you have the option to step out of the stuff you were in into something incredibly new. What's so sad is some of the church are so satisfied with salvation, and that's where it ends. At least I've got the ticket. It's not about the ticket. It's about you becoming everything that God wants you to become so that you can shift other people's lives and atmospheres to become everything that God has called them to become. Otherwise, you're a selfish Christian. And those two words shouldn't really go together. Selfish and Christian do not really mix. So we have to start to examine our lives and say, are we actually going to church or are we actually the church? I think a little bit of persecution would help us in this nation. A little bit of, let's shut down all the churches in public places. We'll soon see where rubber hits road. We'll soon see who's pumped to gather together, who's ready to worship, who's ready to preach, who's maybe ready to do the offering in the communion. I don't think it would be a bad thing. And I'm not prophesying it, but hey, if it happens, it happens. You know? Because sometimes we get woo comfortable in little Wales in our nation. Oh, Lord, bring us revival. We are the revival. So cut that praying out. And let's be the very thing that God has called us to be and walk in the very thing that God has called and be the church instead of go to the church. I'm excited about it. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We're not the church of the whatever or the church of whatever. I don't want to say anything in case it goes out on podcast, somebody gets offended. But we are the church of Jesus Christ. We need to know our identity in this thing. Sometimes we're so reminiscing about the past of, oh, do you remember those days in the church? Great, celebrate them, forget them now, and let's move on to live these days. You know, I want a little bit more of that testimony on a frequent basis. If we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, He's done His bit. Now it's our bit, the word of our testimony. When Leah said, it's testimony time, there should be like this cue, just like, it's my turn, it's my turn, it's my turn, it's my turn. Because the goodness of God is flowing through our lives. Sometimes we're not recognizing it because we're so apathetic to it and actually we quite like comfortable. But God is always flowing. Let's flick to the next one. Turn in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 19. If I get too excited, somebody just wave at me or throw something, okay? That'll just make me get more excited, but that's okay. Let's read the scripture together. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Philippi, see how I skipped that word because I couldn't pronounce it? He asked His disciples, Caesarea, thank you so much. Caesarea. Anyway, let's move on. The whole point was to make me look better, not to read. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? He poses this question. And you might be able to answer that with all truth this morning, but there are people sitting under the sound of my voice that we don't know how to answer that question. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Sheesh, we got options now. All good people. All did something for God. Let's stick him in the category on the level playing field like this. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Well, you know, Jesus, the world says, my school says, my college says. You know, on Monday morning last week, some of you know, we stood in front of 50 of the most influential young people in our city, 50 of the leaders in our city in sixth form, you know? And we got to speak into their lives, the most influential young people in our city. I don't think I quite grasped it. I grasped it a little bit more. But if you can shift the influences, you can change a whole lot of stuff. Some people just influence stuff. And Stavros got up and he said, the reason I do this is because of my faith. I thought, here we go. Either the teachers are going to go, whoa, whoa, hang on a second, or they're just going to be so uncomfortable, they're not going to know what to do, so we just keep going. And we just kept going. And we spoke into their lives. And I don't know. He said, I don't know who you think God is, but this is who God is in my life. And he began to declare the goodness of God and what God had helped him do. And at the end of the day, he had young people coming up to him and say, God spoke to me here this morning. Whoa, hang on a second. We're not in church. We're not in church. God, you can only speak Sunday morning. No, he spoke Monday in a cafe with glass windows, with a little bit of a cup of tea to a bunch of people who've never heard the goodness and the wisdom of God. God spoke to me. Oh my gosh. Do we get it? It's like we expect come to church and receive Jesus. No, now is the moment of salvation. In a cafe, in Bellevue Park, with a great cup of coffee and a Greek. Perfect combination. You mix it all together, this is what we get. And young people, God spoke to me. At the end of this, after declaring all we have out of us, Rob speaking, I shared, and then they full well know what we stand for. I put up this slide and say, right, we want to run Leadership Academy. Who's in? I said, there's 10 spaces. Because I was like, okay, let's push for 10. 10 out of 50. That's not bad. What's that? 20%. 27 young people stepped up and said, I'm in. Do you know what that 27 are going to end up doing? They're going to end up in our presence a lot more, and they're going to love it. They're going to hear our testimony and our story. Because once they're on our territory, boom, this is what's happening. And guess what else is going to happen come August? They're going to help run youth camp. They're going to experience and see Jesus. Oh, no, but Heath, hang on. We got to get him saved first before. Oh, forget it. Just get them in your presence. Get them around you. Get them part of you, and their lives will shift and change. Oh, but they got to say a salvation prayer on a Sunday morning. No, they don't. We do it because it's a great moment, and it's really exciting for me. I think, woo, somebody got saved this morning. Do you know what? They probably made a decision before they even got you. Before they even got you, God sees our hearts. We're never going to get to the end of this. Stop distracting me. But you to say, I am. Simon Peter replied, here's the key. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we believe Jesus is who he says he is? A true revelation of Jesus, we'll see at the moment. It releases the keys of heaven to us, and it brings us into a place of authority. It releases the keys of heaven and brings us into a place of authority. The more revelation we have that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of the living God. He is the only one audacious enough to say that I am the Son of God. Nobody else said that. Nobody else says he's either mad or it's true. That's your options. It's not in the middle. Oh, well, you know, maybe. There's no maybe about this. He's either true or he's an absolute psycho. Pick. Which one are you going to pick? Trust me, pick life, and that's Jesus is the Son of God. And he came and he said, I want to give you life and life in abundance. He's not here to compete with everybody, other religion. He's way above that. We haven't got time for competition because actually he created you, he molded you, he shaped you, he knows you, and he's the only one that's going to get you to walk in the fullness of who he is. He is the only one. Let's go on, next slide. Here we go. Let's carry on reading the scripture. And Jesus answered him. So this is Jesus' return to Peter. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. you do not get Jesus is the Son of God from your head to your heart by a good lecture. It just doesn't happen. There is revelation from heaven. Guess what? God speaks. Young person, Monday morning, God spoke to me. Revelation from heaven, if we are open as a people to allow God to speak. Peter was not there thinking, Jesus, lecture me. Do you know what? He saw Jesus walk in it. He saw Jesus pray about it. He saw Jesus submit to his Father in it. He saw all these things. And based on that and what he saw, what he experienced, what he walked in, he said, you are Jesus, the Son of the living God. The problem is with the church today is we can't say that you are Jesus, the Son of the living God, with confidence because we're so lectured out and we're not walking in the fullness and living what Jesus has called us to live. So there's all theory and lack of practice. Please, nobody agreed to that, but that's cool. It's true though. And I'm just generalizing when I say the church, okay? We're praying, God, bring the miracles. You are the miracle. You are the person called to walk in the life. You are the person called to step into those places. Maturity says, stop praying and just walk and do. And what does the Bible say? Lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. What do you do if it doesn't work? I don't know. That's not our problem. That's God's. We're just called to lay hands. Pray for them. What is it? Just do what he's called you to do because that shows a submissive heart. And a submissive heart releases the authority of heaven on earth. It's that simple. Anyway, here we go. Let's keep on reading. And I tell you, you are Peter. And watch this now. On this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Two thoughts there. He's talking to Peter. And obviously, Peter, we know, is the rock. And Peter was going to start the church. But a second thing. That revelation, on this rock, I will build my church. It's the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the deal. Not Peter, I'm going to build my whole church on you, buddy. He's a part of it. It's on the revelation, which we read a little bit ahead, which has said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. If our church is not built on that revelation, we're just becoming another institute. We are just becoming a nice community gathering, and we'll do nice things, and we'll hang out together, and everybody will come over each other's houses, and there'll be a feel-good factor. But when the rubber hits the road, we won't know what we're standing on. When the rubber hits the road in people's lives, because when you come and you say yes to Jesus and you start to walk that journey and you become part of a local body, guess what? God's going to meet you because he wants to deal with some stuff. Lots of people run and they blame who? The church. No, it's not the church's fault. It's God saying, whoop, let me deal with something in your life. Are you going to stick it? Are you going to be mature? Are you going to deal with it? Or are we going to part? Now, I know there's other circumstances that take place sometimes and journeys differ, but in the main, we get a lot of people just going here and doing whatever they want instead of, hey, God, have you called me in this season to shift, to change, to be a part of, to be there? Is this going to be my family? I don't know how long people are going to be part of this family, but when you do maybe have to move on, do you know what? My greatest joy is to stand here and pray for you and say, Lord, bless them wherever they go. Send people well. Because why? We're not representing an organization. We're representing Jesus. And we should do things better. We should really do things better. As leaders, we want to do things better in the church. And we finished that scripture. Yes. And the gates of hell, check it this bit. I'll build my church and guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Like, we do this well. And Jesus is the center. The gates of hell are not bashing anything down. We're not losing. You are on a winning team. For those of you who lost at sport all your life, you are on a winning team now. You get to win. You will never go to the Olympics, but that's okay. You get to win. We sang that song, You'll Never Let Me Down. You know, I used to sing that song a lot and think, God, based on my idea of letting down, you've really let me down. Because I expected it to finish this way and it's finished that way. I think one day when we step into eternity, we'll understand. But we're not called to understand all the time. We're called to obey. Sometimes we're trying to figure everything out when actually just walk in it. Walk in the goodness and the promises of God. Let's skip it a little bit ahead. I want to read you one scripture and then kind of go zoop like this, okay? Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Here we go again. This is Jesus. And I want to pull all these things together in the last sort of 10 minutes. And just maybe hopefully tie a little bow around them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. You know what a centurion is? Is a Roman, Steon will probably tell me better and he'll change my way if I get the wrong description. Yeah, but he's a soldier who's in charge of a other bunch of people. About 100, they say. So he had people that he looked after. Watch how he addresses Jesus. Lord, my servant. He doesn't come to him, hey, prophet. Hey, I don't know, good guy. He addresses him as Lord. No, we sang this morning about how he's Lord. He is our Savior, and he is our friend that sticks closer to a brother, but he's our Lord. He is our Lord. He's sovereign. And when we say, oh, I like the brother thing, I like the Savior thing, and but actually, Lord, I don't know if I want to go there, Jesus, because that means I'm going to have to bring my life in submission to yours if I declare you Lord. And that is a challenge. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. Incredible. Jesus said, I'll come. You know? Our response as people, when somebody calls or in trouble or whatever, do we say, I'll come. I'll come. Or is it, I just pray for you from here. Sometimes people need you to come. They need you actually tangibly to be there as much as we can. We're the church. You have authority and power in you. I know sometimes we can't, you know, but we, if as much as we can get there, let's get there. Let's be a people who get there. But the centurion replied again, watch, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. He probably didn't have a full revelation of actually he can be worthy in Jesus' presence. But he knew this guy. He understood authority. But only say the word, oh my word, and my servant will be healed. That is huge. You don't have to come. You don't have to lay hands. But I believe so much in who you are that all you have to do is just declare it out of your mouth and it is done. And it goes on to say, for I too am a man under authority. Just stop there for a moment. For I too am a man under authority. He made a statement to Jesus that declared something about Jesus and about himself. You would have looked at him and you would have known he was a man under authority. Because although he was a centurion, there were people above him in rank. And he understood what it meant to submit to their authority. He understood what it meant then to lead people for them to submit in his authority. We don't like the word submission because we think it's like lording over and smashing into place. It's not. It is not. We've got the wrong understanding in the English culture of what submission is. Submission is honoring what is in front of you and bringing your life into it because you truly believe he is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. So outside of him, the other options are second rate to what he's saying. And so I'm going to honor you, Jesus, with what you're calling me to be in this season, what he's calling you to be, not somebody else. Because Chris said that he touches our hearts and wants to deal with us, not everybody else. But I too am a man under authority. How did he know to say this to Jesus? Because he knew Jesus was a man under authority. Jesus was submitted. Who was he submitted to? His Father. What did he say in his word? I only do what my Father says to me to do. I only speak what my Father says to me to speak. Even in the garden, you know, at Gethsemane, and he went and had a conversation with his dad and said, hey, Dad, maybe there's another way, but not my will, your will. See, the Bible says when you actually hand God your life, you gain everything. But the moment you start to claw it back, you actually lose a fullness of who he's called us to walk in. He knew Jesus was a man under authority because I can guarantee you, you wouldn't just walk up to anybody if you didn't know something about them to declare and ask them something. He probably had watched Jesus. He had watched Jesus week in and days and years and thinking, whoa, this guy. He probably watched him pray. He'd probably see him retreat and go and spend time with his Father. He watched him model well the things of the kingdom. Jesus didn't talk about it. He just demonstrated it. I pray that we're a people and a church in this day and age that signs and wonders will follow those who believe. It will. It's not some woo thing. It's not the preacher or the pastor's deal. It's not the leader. It's all of us. Signs and wonders will follow me. And I will walk in those things. I believe. Jesus demonstrated it. He watched Jesus submit to his Father. You see, people, when we're in submission, we stay teachable. When we step out of submission, we don't give a monkey's what anybody else says. It's my theology. And often my theology clashes with his theology, the Word of God. And then it's not about discussion. What does the Word say? What is the Holy Spirit saying? And the Holy Spirit does not speak some other thing over here that the Word does not back it up. I hear so many people say, well, God said this, and then tomorrow he said something else, and tomorrow he said something else, and something else, and something else. It just doesn't. God's not confused. He doesn't look at you and go, well, tomorrow's a different day, so I'm going to change what I think about you and change my opinion on you and change my direction. He doesn't do that. He knows what he's doing. It's our, when we pray, we're not trying to twist God's arm. We're actually trying to line our heart up with his heart. That's why when we pray, the Bible says, pray intelligently. Think about what we're going to pray. Pray in the Spirit. Why? Because it turns, it edifies us, our soul. It edifies us as people so that our hearts become lined up with his heart. Do you know what as well? The centurion, a submitted man, knew that the kingdom he was under, in reality, the Romans, was not the kingdom that could deliver his servant. The kingdom that he was under was not the kingdom that could deliver his servant. Roman kingdom was not healing the paralyzed guy. So he knew the authority that sat there was not the ultimate authority. Lord, if you just say the word. The problem is we're so submitted to an earthly authority, we forgot a heavenly authority which usurps, which is above, which is way, which actually will honor. And we forget then, and we don't walk in his power and his authority because we're not prepared to submit to something greater. You know what's crazy about it? Can we flick over? So when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one, there is no one in Israel have I found such faith. That's a massive statement. All the disciples, all the Pharisees, everybody's hanging out there, and he says this to a centurion, you are the dude. You are the guy. Not because he just said, oh, don't come over, just say the word. No, because he understood authority. He understood submission. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west. It goes on and says, verse 13, and to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Boom. Does it happen like that all the time? No, of course it doesn't happen like that all the time. Rita, can you go one more? We're nearly done. Teachable and submitted releases heaven. If we're teachable and submitted, there's other things, but we're focusing on these this morning. If we're teachable and we're submitted, it releases heaven. That man saw something. He said, I am teachable and I'm submitted to your lordship, and heaven was released. The degree to which we submit is the degree that we'll walk in authority. The degree to which we submit is the degree we'll walk in authority. If we are not walking in the authority of Christ and we're not seeing the things of God manifest, I would suggest that in my life and in whoever else's life, we are not submitted to what he wants us to submit to. And please don't try and submit to everything at once. Ask the Holy Spirit, what areas of my life do I need to line up with you? It becomes a little bit of a no compromise. And we don't tend to like that. You know what? Even in that, when God sees our hearts and he says, you're going for the things of me, there's so much grace in those areas. I love that verse 9. For I too am a man under authority. He knew. Because he watched Jesus' life and watched him model it. The centurion understood the difference between the two kingdoms. You see, church, and I'm not talking to the building, I'm talking to the people. People are looking for this. One more slide, and I think we are done. We are the church. We represent Jesus. Amen? Good. I represent Jesus. And the world is watching how we do some of these things. How do we treat the opposite sex? How do we handle money? How do we raise kids? How do we build family? How do we recover from hurt? How do we forgive? How do we open our home? What is the difference between children of God, the church, and the rest of the stuff what's going on? It's rubber hits road. It's not Sunday, it's every day. You know? It is every day of our lives. And I want to just lift the lid on just one thing here as we bring it to a close. You know, if you truly say, Jesus, your Lord, and you bring yourself up here, and God does, in his presence, we think, wow, it's incredible that you can walk into the presence of a perfect God with your head up and not like this. We spend so much time in shame and guilt and condemnation. Do you know what? If you ever see somebody in guilt and shame and condemnation, pray for them, lift it off them. It doesn't look good. And do you know what? Guilt and shame and condemnation never got you closer to the heart of God. It's the realization of how much the Savior loves you that brings you closer to the heart of God. You want to journey through things. Stop beating yourself up. You made a mistake. You stuffed up. Join the club. Now, let's turn around, repent, which is mean change direction, and let's start to walk in the goodness of God. Let's start to understand how much he loves us. Otherwise, do you know what? We go back to condemnation city, back to depression city, back to, oh, we're under the cosh city, instead of walking in. The Bible says the goodness of God brings people to repentance. You're going to go to hell. Yeah, we know that. But when you tell people how great God is, they're not thinking of how bad, why? Oh, I avoided that. No, I got this. It's not what we avoid, it's what we walk into. It's not what we're not doing, it is what we are doing. Well, I'm not a bad person. I didn't kill anybody today. I didn't swear anybody. I didn't think bad of anybody, blah, blah. Yeah, but great, you didn't do that. But what are you doing? What are we actually doing? But the challenge comes, and when we bring ourselves up, and I tell you what, if we are called liberty, liberty is over the door, it's over the mantle place, it's over the heart of this church. If you want to walk in freedom, you're going to have to deal with some muck. And the issue comes with people is the muck comes and we do a couple of things. We either hide, we either sweep, or we submit. Because every one of us are going to deal with issues. You're probably dealing with some now. And you say, I'm going to hide them. Don't tell anybody. Do not tell anybody. Because what happens if they find out? Do you know what happens when it comes into the light? The Bible says, bring it into that place so we can pray for one another, stand with one another, and bring each other into victory. Now, your experience of other people in church may be so different, but I want to promise you with all that in me, in my heart, in this place, there we're not going to condemn and we're not going to judge. We're going to bring people into the fullness of all God that he is. Will I maybe make a mistake? Of course I might make a mistake, you know? But at the end of the day, this idea of hiding, you live with it. And do you know what? We pass it on. Somehow, even if we don't talk about it, it goes from one person to another, from us to our kids. We got to deal with some stuff for our kids' sake. Because you will, it comes out. We had a birthday party around the house yesterday. It's incredible. You know the parents by the kids. You just do. You see the kids talking, you know the parents, good and bad ways. I won't say anymore. Or we sweep it under the carpet. We're like, oh, quick, get it under the carpet. And then we live with a carpet with this mound. Who puts a carpet in their house over a table? Or under a mound of dirt? Can you imagine if we just kept sweeping? It'd be great. Carol will come out. Like, Carol, all the dirt's under this mound, you know? But people are like, what are you talking about, Carol? Carol comes and cleans our house sometimes. There we go. Just so we had good context. But you wouldn't sweep all the dirt and just put the carpet over it. But we do, we keep sweeping and and somebody might step and it puffs out now and again. Quick, hide it, get rid of it. And then the last thing we can do is we can actually submit to what he's processed. Do you know what God wants to do? He wants to bring you into his freedom. How does he do that? He will highlight the issue to you. Oh God, you're a good God. Thanks for highlighting that. And then he gives you a choice. Are we going to walk in the authority of Christ by submitting to him? Because guess what? Whatever was dead or we thought was dead is going to be raised to life because we submit to him. And he says, Let me come and help you work on this. Let the Holy Spirit begin to work on this. And we kind of can get there. Do you know what really stops us? Is when we submit to Him, He often places people in our lives to walk a journey with us. And we're like, I can't trust people. People hurt me 25 years ago, and I'll never trust them again. I've been there. I know that. I find it tough to trust people. But you got to trust again. Because actually, if you could have dealt with it on your own, you would have already. And you can't. So God brings these people to walk alongside you, and we walk into a place of freedom. Will they betray you? Maybe they will. Will they highlight it on Facebook? Maybe. Pick with a bit of wisdom. But even if they do, do you know what? The light issue is better in the light than it is in the dark. You think, whoa, that's not a good idea. Sometimes it is. Because God does not want you to stay in the miry clay. He doesn't want you to stay in the pit, because you are a person and a child of His. You've said yes to Him. He wants to empower you. He wants to give you authority. And all those things are bestowed on you. When we say yes, I will submit to Him. Some of your issues are going around in your head. I can see it now. You're like, oh my gosh. Well, what are you going to do about it? Walk out and forget about it? Or are you going to maybe say, hey, let me get somebody? That's why we have incredible Liberty Group leaders. Maybe you can't tell them. That's why you've got great friends. Maybe come and tell me. We can do like a little confessional box. Father, I've sinned. No, don't do that. It doesn't work. It's rubbish. Just go say whatever. It does. No, man. Bring your heart before God and say, God, I want a journey out of this. But you know what holds us the rope? Shame, condemnation, guilt. That is not you. Because why? If you don't walk into that freedom, you're robbing the planet of your authority that Jesus has placed inside you. I know I'm way over time. My watch is going crazy, but it's fine. The centurion came and said, Jesus, You are Lord. Peter declared it. Why? Because he saw it modeled. He saw it walk through. Do you know why we don't come to church on Sunday as a building? Because we are the church everywhere, because we're called to model this stuff. We're called to actually involve people in our lives. People come over our house, and you know what? They see us, who we are. Sometimes we may have a good day, and sometimes we may have a bad day. It doesn't mean I'm more holy or less holy. It means I'm working it out. You know? Just another myth. Somebody said to me the other day about sitting near the front. You can sit wherever you like. Holy people don't sit at the front and less holy at the back. Amen, Louise? It's not a ranking system. Just walk down here and come sit right in the middle. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. Sometimes we do that. When we're going through stuff, we edge further back in church. Maybe some of you are sat there because there's practical reasons, but we do. We go, whoa, let's get back. So they won't notice me. God sees everything. And today, the Father comes to you with a heart and He says, I love you. I'm passionate about you. You are the church of Jesus Christ, who I want to place authority and power in. I want to walk you to walk in my fullness. And He said, there is a way. And it's through my Son, Jesus. And the centurion said, Lord. Are we going to say, Lord? Or are we going to sit there and go, I don't care. I'm comfortable. I got my Charlie and the Chocolate Factory ticket. Great. Great for you. But actually, this is more. This is bigger than you and me. When you sit in front of 50 young people and you start to influence them, this is not about me or Stavros or Rob. This is about our city. We don't go there to think, whoa, look at us. We've touched lives of 50 young people. We go there because if we can shift them, we can shift the city. We can shift families. We can shift nations. I don't know where these kids are going to go. Oh, but Heath, it's 50 out of 5 million. Well, at least it's something. At least it's, why are you wasting your time? You know, get the masses in. No, you don't need the masses. Jesus said, if I can just get one. If I can just get one. Daniel changed the nation. Just one. If one person in this room today, out of this whole sermon of whatever you think it is, great or absolute rubbish, if one person goes, Lord, in this area I'm going to submit, we win. The planet wins. Your lives win. Your family wins because you're saying, I'm going to walk with you, God. I'm going to journey with you, God. I want to walk in your authority and power, God, and I want to see the goodness of God flow across this land. Stop praying for revival and just say, yes, Lord. Won't you stand before we blow? I blow. If you can't tell, I'm pretty passionate about this stuff. You know why? Because when you see people with so much potential and carrying so much, your heart breaks when you see them say no to everything that God has inside of them. And you know what? The journey is painful and it's hard and it's tough sometimes. But this is Jesus you're standing with. He's not taking you to fail you. He's taking you to promote you. He's taking you to elevate you. You can't lose. If you submit, you cannot lose. Oh my gosh. You just can't. You can't lose. We will never lose if we say yes to Jesus. Never. But they may come up against me. Of course they're going to come up against you. Some people will hate your guts. Get over it now. You know, it's fine. But when we stand for the things of God, we will see the things of this earth shift. We will see heaven come to earth. And what does it take? It takes you and me. Father, we stand here this morning. Won't you just raise your hands with me to heaven? And Father, with all authority and everything you've placed inside of us, we declare this morning, or I declare, because you can only pray this prayer personally, I declare that you are Jesus, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Holy Spirit, dwell in our hearts this morning. Captivate our lives. We choose in the areas this morning that you are touching to submit. Because, Father, it's not about me. It's about walking in your authority. And I pray for your people this morning. I pray, God, that we are a people who walk in your authority and your power, a submitted people. A people who don't just live Sunday, but live every day. Whose lives are open, whose homes are open, who journey with people, who walk with people. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Come on, let's just begin to sing to him.
Thanks for joining with us today. We pray that you are challenged and encouraged by what you've heard. See you soon.